Well, it is great to be with you this evening, and I've just enjoyed so much seeing so many old friends and acquaintances from the past, and don't be troubled by the fact that I can't remember your name. I have a hard time remembering my children's names sometimes. Well, if we have just a fine audience, I wondered in view of this being a rather significant evening, the election of American president. But I think it's turned out very well. I'm glad it was not something really important and significant like the Auburn-Alabama game. Well, I've been trying to talk about some lessons that tell us important things about the simple truth that we've given our lives to. We discussed last night this wonderful, simple text that comes at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, which had opened, as we talked about last night, with the question, what profit hath a man for all his labor which he taketh under the sun? And answers with the conclusion of the matter in chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Now, if you've ever read the book of Ecclesiastes very much, you'll see that there are all kinds of complex arguments in it and interesting questions raised and answered. But it ends with just this simple proclamation that this is the conclusion of the whole matter. So I'm going to talk with you tonight about this conclusion of the whole matter. I'm convinced and have been for many years that being a Christian is simple. They're not hard things that we have to do, not hard things that we have to figure out. It is a simple matter. And as he says in this passage, the simple things that we have to keep in mind is, number one, let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. I'll tell you one lesson that has to be learned by every person that ends up doing what God expects of us is you have to start out fearing God. And as I told you last night, I ain't thought about that. Lots of times I've had people ask me, like in 1 John 4:18, what does it mean? There's no fear in love, and perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So I've had people say, well, you know, we ought not to fear God because we love him and he loves us, and that really blots out fear. And there's a way in which, of course, that is true. But actually, this word, fear, I decided, well, I'm going to look up fear and see what it means. The word's used 317 times in the Old Testament. It's Yahweh. It's really the name of God. And it says it's from a primitive root, to fear, morally to revere, causatively to frighten, to be a fright, to be a fear. To fear and reverence. Used 47 times in the New Testament. It's the word phobos. That's what our word phobia comes from. And the definition that's given is to fear, dread, terror, that which strikes terror. So I tell you, I looked at that and struggled around and looked at all the slants that I could about what does it mean to fear God. And I'll tell you what I've decided. I think what it means is fear. God. I mean, it is an awesome thing to come into the presence of God and to understand who He is. And I will tell you what you need to do, and what I need to do is approach Him on our knees, thankful that we can come to Him, and ever fearful of being in the presence of the living God. So he says there are two things that, in this text in Acts the 9th chapter, is verse 31 is a good addition to that. The churches, the rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. I mean, what we're told is that the churches of the New Testament, when they were pleasing to God, what they did is they walked in the fear of God and in respect for Him. You know, there's nothing that bothers me about a society and the changes in society than when I hear people speak frivolously about God, which people do all the time now. And these expressions that just bring the name of God in vain or on some senseless statement calling about, oh God, that bothers me a lot. And the reason it bothers me is because it doesn't reflect the reverence and fear that you have to come to God with. So if you end up doing the right thing, you'll have to start out, number one, knowing who God is and revering Him, respecting Him, holding His name up. And so the second thing He says is that people always, in every age, that have not done that have ended up ruining themselves, ruining their lives. Romans 1st chapter verse 21, that's worth our reading. Because that which, when they knew of God, they glorified Him not as God. And this is talking about the apostate people that were alive in the days of the New Testament. Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image of the likened to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. He said, I will tell you what was the character of the decadent society when the gospel was first preached. He said they had no respect for God. They didn't worship Him as God. They were vain in their own imaginations and think we can create things that are better than the God that we read about. And they changed the image of God into whatever they want it to be. Look around you. That's exactly what goes on in our society today. And that is that people don't respect God. They don't revere Him. They don't speak like that. And furthermore, they look out and say, we can do things better than what God has passed on to us. Well, in the first place then, if we end up doing the right thing, it'll be because we start out saying, I recognize who God is, and I respect Him, and I'm going to follow Him. And that's the second item in this simple answer that is the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. That's pretty simple, folks. You know what your responsibility is? It's not to do some superhuman kind of project. It's not to think of some great new idea that nobody's ever thought of before. The whole thing that has to guide our life is just one thing. Put God in his respect and respect him as you should and keep his commandments. And that's a simple matter. Actually, the psalmist says that in the Old Testament in Psalm 111 in verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever. I mean, that two simple points is just scattered throughout the Bible. That if you want to please God, they're just two things. Number one, you have to respect him as God. And number two, we have to follow his directions and do what God tells us to do. Now, I'm going to, as we read in Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter, verse 1, last night, keep thy foot when thou goest into the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of foods. If you want to have a good life, and if you want to be pleasing to God, there are just two things that you have to do. You have to respect him and honor God and do what he tells you to do. Obey his commandments. So that's the whole duty of man. We got it? We can just go home tonight because that's it. Somebody said, oh, well, this is really complicated. No, it's not complicated. Life is quite simple. You just pay your respect to God and then do exactly what he tells you to do without capitulating to intellectual elites. Now I'm gonna give you some personal kind of departures in this lesson this evening, which is a short lesson because you can only preach so long about what you have to do. It's just two things. Just honor God and do what he tells you to do. But I've been in a lot of circumstances, and all you young people in the audience, you'll be in circumstances where you have someone that says, oh, well, we have a brilliant professor over here, and he doesn't believe that you have to follow all of that stuff. And there, you know, there are brilliant people out here that don't believe in God. So we can't just say that that's all life is about when there are so many people that are saying otherwise. And so lots of times people will just capitulate to what some brilliant person tells them, that you can't believe that. Or follows them because they're like that feeling themselves, that they can construct a better way of life than God has told us to follow and do. Can we do that in a world in which we're surrounded by people that you may have noticed lately that want to do all kind of ungodly and worldly and harmful things? So is it possible that we can still just say, no, life is this simple. I'm just going to fear God and keep his commandments. You don't have to. People often will say, oh, well, you know, the ancient world was so wicked. Yeah, it was. And it's not much better. Maybe it's worse in some places today than it was in ancient times. We're always surrounded by those that will tell you, well, you don't have to do that. The world is full of all kind of wonderful things that we can enjoy and do. And that's what we ought to do. That's how we ought to spend our life. So can we keep this in our minds and live a life that is constructive in what God would have us to be, believing in just this simple principle? Can life be that simple? But now I'm going to tell you just a few personal stories about my experience with that. I've lived most of my adult 86 years in the midst of people who I thought it was absolutely absurd for somebody to say, I believe that the best way to live your life is to just fear God and keep His commandments. So I've had a lot of experiences with academic people who would say, well, isn't that amazing that what he believes? Now, I'm going to read you a little quotation here. In 2002, at the big meeting of the American Academy of Religion, when all the religion scholars come together, usually about 9,000 or 10,000 of them, they had a session about my work and discussed the things that I'd done and my gross peculiarity in the things that I believe. And this was a quotation from one of the men who read a paper about me at this meeting. His name is Sam Hill. Sam has been a good friend of mine. He's written a lot about religion, too. He was the chairman of the Department of Religion at the University of Florida. So I'm going to tell you a couple of things that Sam said. One of them, he talked about the way that I had lectured around the world. He says, when speaking to Muslims who are scholars of Islam, as he has done often in South Asia, he begins by telling them straight out that they're wrong and Islam is misguided. Not just that he disagrees, but that they're wrong. From that point on, he negotiates in a sense of inviting dialogue, aiming thereby to achieve fairness that engages, listens, and goes somewhere. Now, that is true. So I just want to tell you that. I don't believe you will harm your life at all if you say exactly what you believe. That's what God expects of us. That's what He calls us to do, is to fear God and to keep His commandments and to tell the truth. He says then, from that point on, he negotiates in a sense of inviting dialogue, aiming thereby to achieve fairness and engages, listens, and goes somewhere. That is true. What I would do is tell these people, here's what I believe, and I believe it's true, and I'd be glad to engage you in conversation. I don't want to go to battle with you, but it is quite proper to say we need to stand for our beliefs, and you need to do that. Wherever you go, and not be afraid to do it, whatever circumstances you find yourself in. Sam continued, he said, this is a fine herald skill, but in this discussion of Ed's historiography, the main issue becomes his high standard for getting it right, for being accurate. And that's right. I mean, that's what became to be my greatest compliment among historians, is that the one thing I tried to do was be fair and to be right and to tell the truth. And I want to tell you, that's what you need to do in life. Actually, the rest of Sam's quote is, he said, that explains a lot, both about who he is and what he believes, and his work. So, by the way, that's one of the pictures of these conferences that I held under the direction of the State Department, talking to Muslim communities, this one in Indonesia. What you young people, you can rest assured that if you believe in God and are determined to keep His commandments, you don't ever need to be ashamed of that. You can tell the truth, and people will honor you for telling the truth. This is a second little exchange that took place on Sam's part. We many times, we meet at academic meetings, and we'd have breakfast together and talk. Sam's father had been the president of the Southern Baptist Seminary in Louisville, and he was a man kind of on a journey through a lot of different churches. But we had many conversations, and he said this. He told this story. He said a second incident took place during a breakfast conversation at the annual meeting of the Southern Historical Society about 1982. I pulled out the old chestnut. Let's compress our respective philosophies of life in one word. I said, meaning, whatever in the Sam Hill that means, but actually, I knew what he meant, and that is that he thought, well, you don't reach truth, you just keep searching around to see if you can find something to grab on. And so far, he hadn't found much to grab onto. I said meaning. He said obedience. Now, I'd never thought about that. If somebody just asked you right out of the thin air, well, say in one word what you believe sums up your belief. But I think I hit it. The whole duty of man is to fear God and obey Him and keep His commandments. He says, having just learned, you've just learned something about the speaker and the one whose work is being spoken about. Since Ed will have chances to reply to this report, including his last observation, this last observation of mine, I throw out this. Ed, the self-characterized religious legalist and eminent scholar, D.E.H. Jr., are the same person. That is correct. That you can be the best you can be in life. You young folks, I will tell you there's nothing wrong with working hard, trying to do the best you can do, learn as much as you can learn, accomplish as much as you can accomplish. Nothing wrong with that. But you always need to do it fearing God and keeping His commandments and being ready to give that answer to whoever asks you. Getting God right is to be obedient. So you need to be obedient. And you need to be open with every person you meet about, I'm trying to do the best I can in life to tell the truth and to be honest. And I believe that I ought to serve God first, and you should do the same. Several years ago, a group of my students and other professors who had known me did a book talking about my work. And one of the men, Richard Hughes, who's been a quite prominent historian, who has followed my career and thinks I've influenced him a lot, says, in the case of Harold the historian, the road of biblical primitivism has been a productive road to travel. It led him to embrace the highest standards of historical scholarship. It has confirmed his commitment to the methods of social history, and because he's traveled the road so long and so well, he's enriched the rest of us in ways that he cannot possibly understand. So what profit is it You fear God and keep His commandments. And it'll win you respect. Not defaming. If you try hard, work hard, treat people right, tell the truth, you can fulfill the book of Ecclesiastes exhortation to fear God and keep His commandments. The rest of that passage, which I'll conclude with, is, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I'll tell you, that's the promise that goes with fearing God and keeping His commandments. He says the time will come when we'll face judgment, and we all will bring baggage into that judgment scene. So I'm sure that you, like I, have wondered what I'll be thinking about. I wonder what I'll be thinking about when I come to the judgment scene. I wonder if I'll be thinking about, well, now I wrote 9 important books. I need to tell you guys about these books. Or I've made so much money. I made a lot of money and had left behind a lot of cars. And I want to tell you about my accomplishments. I don't think so. I don't think any of those things will cross my mind when we all stand before the judgment bar of God and come before the secret things. I'll tell you what, I hope I can come there to say, I loved and feared You, Lord, and I did my very best to keep Your commandments. Well, that's where we stand tonight. That's what we believe, that you should simply read God's Word, see the things He has told us to do, do those, don't do anything else. Live your life. You'll live your life doing whatever you choose to do, and do it to the very best of your ability. But come to the final judgment before God, saying, Lord, I tried to love You and be obedient to the instructions that You've given us. Now that's simple. It'll solve a lot of your problems. If you're here tonight and you are not a Christian, I will tell you what you need to do is you need to come obediently, submissively before God and say, I'm going to put my life in God's hands and fear Him and keep His commandments. And wherever you go and whatever you do and whatever you accomplish, that'll give you something to bring to the judgment. And say, Lord, that is what, in one word, I've tried to do, is be obedient. If you're here and you understand that what you need to do is come and obey the gospel by repenting of your sins, putting your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, being buried with the Lord in baptism for the remission of your sins, born again to be raised to a new life. If you are here and subject to that invitation tonight, we invite you while we stand and sing.